6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Greg, and this is the Wheel of Timecast. This week, I just wanted to, now that the Wheel of Time is back, I just wanted to give a, I don't know how quick it's going to be, but a relative recap to what we saw from the first couple of seasons. For those of you who don't have time to watch the first two seasons again, perhaps this can help you out a little bit. So the Wheel of Time takes place in a world. It's a bit of a medieval world. It's, you know, villages, towns, cities, lands of kings and queens. There are a force for good, which is the light, and there's a force for bad, which is the dark. There is magic in this land. It is known by the name of the One Power. There are male and female sides of it. So Sidar is wielded by females. Sidin is wielded by males. At this time that we are watching, Sidin, the male half of the source, has been tainted by the Dark One. And so any male who channels it eventually feels the Dark One's touch and goes mad. In this time frame, the only women who wield Sidar, like with any kind of significance, they are collected in one place called the White Tower, and they are referred to as Aes Sedai. It's a strong sisterhood built around their connection to the One Power. The Aes Sedai are bound by three oaths. To speak no word that is not true, to make no weapon for one man to harm another, and to not wield the power except against shadow spawn or, you know, dark creatures, or in defense of their life or their warders. 3,000 years ago, there were male and female Aes Sedai, but Luz Theron Telamon, the dragon, or one of the dragon's incarnations. He attempted to seal the Dark One away from the world, and in turn, the backlash of that power by the Dark One, the backlash tainted the male side of the source, which led to what I talked about earlier. Now, getting into kind of main characters and effective plot lines. We have a number of different locations, and I'll kind of go through a few of them. So the two rivers is where we are, you know, where we kind of start. And we have five main characters from the two rivers: Randall Thor, Matrim Cawthon, known as Matt, Perrin Ibarra, who is a blacksmith, Egwene Alvear, who is the innkeeper's daughter, and Nynaeve Almira, who is the town wisdom, or, you know, wise woman or healer. So Rand lives with his father on his farm. Matt has a couple of sisters, and Perrin is married to a woman named Layla. During the first season, Moiraine, who is an Aes Sedai of the Blue Aja and her warder, Lan. Warders have a connection to Aes Sedai. Basically, they're their physical protectors while Aes Sedai are wielding their magic. They end up coming to the two rivers, seeking the dragon reborn. We eventually find out that it was foretold that the dragon reborn was reborn, and then Moiraine was sent on a mission to go and find the dragon. So she comes to the Two Rivers. Shortly thereafter, Trollocs or Shadowspawn end up attacking, and Moiraine helps defeat them. And then after the battle the next morning, she basically tells the five, well, I guess Nynaeve at this point was taken by one of the Trollocs, but tells them, hey, one of you is the Dragon Reborn. We're not sure who, we're not sure which one, but like, hey, if you stay here, all that's going to happen is you're going to endanger your friends and family by the Dark One's forces. So they all leave, right? So they go, they're being chased by Trollocs and Fades. Trollocs are like beastmen, and Fades are, they're like, you know, the crazy Voldemort looking people, or looking creatures with crazy rows of teeth and magical powers. So they're on the run. They kind of get trapped, and they head to a place called Shadar Logoth, formerly known as Eridol. It was basically a cursed city. And while they're in there, Matt finds this dagger. He picks it up and takes it because he's poor, and he thinks to himself, hey, this is, I mean, I can at least get something out of this. And then they are attacked by Mashadar, basically the darkness that ate the city, many, many years ago. So when they are attacked, they end up splitting up. So Egwene and Perrin, they end up being together. Rand and Matt end up being together, and then Moiraine and Lan. Nynaeve finds Moiraine and Lan. Moiraine has been injured by a Trolloc blade, and so she's, you know, pretty sick. And now I'm going to kind of split down on like where each of these paths ended up leading. So Moiraine and Lan and Nynaeve. So they basically go to, they're going to go towards Tarla Valon, which is where the White Tower is. And so they get word of some other Aes Sedai. They go, they find the Aes Sedai, Moiraine gets healed, and then they discover that the Aes Sedai have captured Loghaine. Loghaine is what they refer to as a false dragon. He thinks that he's the dragon. He has collected armies to go battle the Dark One, but the White Towers, their charge is to cage the dragon so that he can be used as a weapon against the Dark One in the last battle. In the midst of all this, Loghaine's army attacks. Loghaine is broken free. He kills one of the Aes Sedai, and then in kind of like retaliation and rage, Liandrin of the Red Aja, she links with the other Aes Sedai, and she gentles, or cuts off from the source, Loghaine. Then they take him to Tar Valon to present him to the Amyrlin Seat. The Amyrlin Seat is the leader of the White Tower, the elected leader of the White Tower, who we find out is her name is Swan Sanche. Moving on to a different storyline, Matt and Rand, they go over to trying to get to Tar Valon. They stop by a town called Breen Spring. They meet a gleeman named Tom Marilyn, and they make friends with the barkeep, who offers a place to stay for work. And then turns out she's a dark friend. She's gonna like turn them over to a mere drawl or a fade. And then Tom kills her, and they leave. They leave the small town on their way to Tar Valon. They find a farm. They again work for the night, and then for a place to sleep in the morning or evening. Tom and Rand see Matt, and they see basically the entire family's been massacred. Matt sees a fade, a fade. And so Tom faces off against the fade, and Rand and Matt head towards Tar Valon. They get to Tar Valon and then get a place to stay there, and then end up seeing Nynaeve, who eventually gets back there as well. because she was with Moiraine and Lan when they were going. Perrin and Egwene, they, after Shadar Lagoth, they go off and they're trying to get towards Tarvalon, but they are led by some wolves to the traveling people, or Tuathuan, also known as Tinkers. The Tinkers, you know, Perrin and Egwene end up traveling with the Tuathuan. They are intercepted by some White Cloaks. White Cloaks are known as, or I guess White Cloaks is the word they're known as, but their official name is Children of the Light. These are Zealots of the Light, and they believe that anything they don't understand must be of the Dark One. And so anything that, for example, we meet, can't remember his name off the top of my head, one of the questioners, they are all referred to as child, Child Valda. His name is Aemon Valda. And Valda has gone around basically finding and executing Aes Sedai and taking their rings as souvenirs. So Perrin, in the process of all of this, it is discovered that he has an affinity with the wolves, which is why they led him to safety with the Tuathuan. So the wolves attack. Perrin is being tortured. Egwene is going to either channel and be killed, or Perrin will be killed. And so the wolves attack. They escape. They make their way to Tarvalon. So now everybody's back in Tarvalon. And when everybody's back in Tarvalon, I'm not going to go through literally everything, because there is a ton of stuff that happens. I mean, you know, 16 hours worth. In Tarvalon, we meet Loial, who is an Ogier. He's basically just almost an Ent-like character, like from Lord of the Rings. Very significant affinity with trees. The Aes Sedai, who brought Loghain back to Tarvalon, they parade him through the streets. Then, as punishment for not telling Swan in public what she was about, we discovered that Swan and Moiraine were lovers, or are lovers, and have been for a long time. And at Moiraine's behest, basically, Swan says, okay, you're exiled. Don't come back to the White Tower. So in the process of all this, Matt has been infected with this dagger. By this dagger, Moiraine extracts the evil from Matt, and he starts to recover. But then Moiraine, Nynaeve, basically all of them are being taken to what is the Eye of the World, basically like the furthest north point in the land, where the Dark One's seal is, or where the Dark One's prison is. And the intent is Dragon Reborn needs to go there, destroy the Dark One, so that you know, the rest of the world can be saved. They go into the Ways. The Ways is basically an infected version of I'm going to say Waygate. So they go through a Waygate to go into the Ways. This is basically a really, really fast travel way. So, you know, to travel hundreds of leagues or hundreds of miles, you know, it'll take a day or two where it would take weeks or months otherwise. So they travel through. They are attacked by the Machin Shin, the Black Wind, and in the process of this, so they aren't able to make it all the way to the Eye of the World. They make it to the exit of Faldara up in Shianar. This is close to where Lan's homeland is, Malkier. It has been taken over by the Blight, which basically is a disease of the Dark One, you know, overrunning all the and destroying all the vegetation and everything, and just kind of creeping further south into the land. So Faldara is kind of like the last bastion before the Blight. You know, they fend off Trollocs, they fend off Shadowspawn, and they have for a long time. In the process of all of this, We meet Min, who is a seer. She has visions, and she has some pretty crazy ones of all of this. So Moiraine asks Min, hey, what does she see when she sees this? She sees a couple of bonkers visions. And then, so Rand, then it is revealed, like Rand realizes he is the Dragon Reborn. There were just context clues that are now shown that he's the one. So he and Moiraine in the dark of night take off towards the Eye of the World to go, kill the Dark One. The others realize this. Lan realizes that she has masked her bond, so he can't tell where she's at. And each of the other people. So while Rand and Moiraine are going to the Eye of the World, the others are back in Faldara. Starting with Rand and Moiraine, they go towards the Eye of the World. They find it, and then Rand has an interaction with the Dark One. And so he overcomes all of the adversity, channels into this Sa'angriel that Moiraine has given him, and destroys the Dark One. Moiraine, at the same time, has been cut off from the source while Rand was having this interaction. So Dark One disappears, and Rand says, hey, it's done. And then, a bunch of power crack through the floor, this Quindiar, which is Heartstone, which is basically made by the One Power, couldn't even scratch it with the One Power, but obviously this is now broken. So then Rand leaves. Rand just goes off and he says, hey, tell everybody I died. In the process of all of that, Perrin and Loial, they are assisting some of the Shaenarians to go retrieve the Horn of Valir, which was in safekeeping, in Faldara for safekeeping. They go pull it out of whatever, and then Padden Fain, who was a peddler that we saw early on in the season, he comes with some fades and kills. Well, we think he kills a bunch of people. Apparently not. Maybe not. I don't know. But he takes the Horn of Valir, tells Perrin, "Hey, you guys all have a part to play," and he leaves with the horn. Then in the process of all of this, Nynaeve and Egwene have been called as channelers to go assist to defend Faldara from the Trollocs. There is a pretty wicked, channeling or One Power blasts. But basically everyone, including Nynaeve, everyone but Egwene is all killed. And then in a fit of sympathy or sadness or whatever, Egwene is able to heal Nynaeve. We don't know if she brings her back from the dead. We don't know if she still had a spark or whatever, but she heals her. I didn't mention this before, but when the Aes Sedai was killed by Loghain, Nynaeve sent out like a giant wave of healing, healed everybody in the cave so that they could actually take care of Loghain. So both Egwene and Nynaeve are very powerful channelers. So they fend off the Trollocs. Turns out, hey, we think the Dark One's dead. Everybody's cool. But then Rand takes off. And Lan finds Moiraine and says, hey, unmask the bond. She says, I can't. I can't touch the source. Rand's gone. Basically intimating that he is dead. Moiraine realizes, oh, wait a minute. I guess this isn't the last battle. We're actually moving on. So that was the end of season one. And I know I've been talking for like 10 minutes on this now. So I apologize, but all right, we'll go ahead and I'll try to churn through season two relatively quickly. Start of the season. Starting with Moiraine and Lan. Moiraine is in exile in Arathel with her friends, Varen and Adelaus. She does some fancy negotiating, gets a poem, finds what she's looking for, and kind of realizes that one of the Forsaken is loose, and she needs to go try to figure out where Rand's at so she can protect him. So she basically does everything she can to push Lan away, and then she goes off to Kyrene, which is where she's from, meets up with her sister, you know, realizes that Rand has been there, and then goes to find Rand. In this same time frame, we see that Rand has been in Kyrene. He's been hunting down Loghain. Loghain was put in Kyrene by Moiraine, so that he wasn't locked away in the tower, and possibly so that Rand could find him and be taught. We find out he's been living in an inn with a woman named Selene. He's working at this hospital, and then having crazy dreams at night. He does end up attacking one of the attendants, who's kind of an asshole. So, you know, we don't feel bad about it, so that he can go take care of Loghain. He talks to Loghain about, he asks him, "Hey, how can I control the source?" And then in the next like day or two, Rand accidentally in his dreams sets fire to the inn and burns down. Selene says, "Hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and get out of town because this is crazy." And they go out to the country. So he does reveal, because a fade shows up, he does reveal that he can channel. And then Selene's like, "It's okay that you're a monster. I'm a monster too." And we're like, "What is happening?" And then she gets stabbed in the heart by Moiraine. Moiraine explains that Selene is not in fact Selene. She is Lanfear, one of the Forsaken. So as it turns out, they didn't defeat the Dark One. They set the Forsaken, or at least one of the Forsaken, Ishmael, free by breaking the seal on that prison, which is why the Quindiar was damaged, so that he could become free to walk the world again. Then he released Lanfear, and Ishmael's goal seems to be that he was going to turn the dragon to the dark. So now we're to the point where, hey, you know, Moiraine and Rand go back to Kyrene, and turns out, through a whole mess of stuff, turns out that her sister's son, who was going to marry the queen, is actually a dark friend. Turns out that Leandrin, who was of the Red Sedai, is actually a dark friend as well. And I'll get to her in a couple minutes. Moiraine and Rand end up working things out so that they are going to go to Falm. And part of the prophecies that, you know, that Moiraine is on, the prophecies of the dragon, is that the dragon will claim himself, bannered across the sky in fire, claim himself in Falm, bannered across the sky in fire. So that's the intent. Hey, we're going to go to Falm. As it turns out, Swan Sanche, so Lan in his travels, he finds the little thing, or the little poem that Moiraine had about Lanfear, and then one of the other Aes Sedai, Alana, and her warders, Ivan and Maxim, they basically say, "Hey, Lan, what's the deal? Are you guys dark friends, you know, worshipping Lanfear?" And he's like, "No. Hey, we gotta go find the Amyrlin." So they go find the Amyrlin, tells the Amyrlin, "Hey, we found the Dragon Reborn. And we're trying to do stuff with him," or Moiraine's trying to do stuff with him, but she's also stilled. So Swan, as the Amyrlin, goes to Kyrene.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
And effectively captures Rand and holds him prisoner. Between Varen and Lanfear and Moiraine, they all cause distractions. They get into the ways and go towards Falm. There are some pretty heartbreaking scenes there. It turns out that Ishmael had tied off a weave, that basically a shield on Moiraine. And so Rand cuts it. She wasn't stilled. She was, in fact, just shielded. Now she can access the source again. But so they go to the ways, and then they pop out over in Falm and preps for the rest. Other plot lines in here. So Egwene and Nynaeve are both in the White Tower. I'll start with Nynaeve. Nynaeve basically still can't access the source. She's like blocked. She's got some sort of mental block. So she's just being very, very headstrong and resistant to any training. So she is, you know, Leandrin, who we now know is Black, Black Aja, or is a dark friend. She's kind of like pushing her to become better and to increase her strength. And she goes through this rite of acceptance that goes, quote-unquote, through the arches. And this is a test of maturity and power and, like, will of the kind of the Aes Sedai have. They're three sections, right? So they start off as novices, and then they go through this trial, and then they go through the arches, and now they are accepted. And then later on, we haven't seen it yet, but there's some other formality where they become Aes Sedai. But so Nynaeve goes through the arches. Very, very an excellent episode. Excellent portrayal of this. But basically, she spends almost an entire lifetime in the arches and then comes out almost a broken woman because, you know, she basically walked away from a child that she'd had an entire life with, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 years. So she comes out of the arches, and then Leandrin sets her up to basically capture her. Egwene, in the meantime, is doing all of her novice stuff. She meets Elaine Trakand, who is the daughter heir of Andor, which is the country that the Two Rivers actually resides in. And Egwene and Elaine, they get a little bit closer. Nynaeve, you know, when they found out that Nynaeve didn't come out of the arches, they actually like went and almost like prayed over it and tried to get her to will her to come out. And when she came out, they were sitting there waiting for her and had a really, really hard time. So Leandrin sets up Nynaeve. Nynaeve tells Egwene and Elaine. They all try to go save Perrin from being captured, and I'll get to Perrin in a couple minutes. But so Leandrin kidnaps all three of them and then takes them to through the ways in order to sell them to a new threat, the Shanshan. Now the Shanshan are from across the sea. They are here to reclaim the home of their forefathers. They utilize channelers, and they basically have channelers as slaves. And so they have Suldam, who control the Damane. Damane are leashed ones, and Suldam are the controllers. They are the ones who hold the power and can force the Damane to do what they want via a piece of equipment called an Adam. A dam, something like that. Anyway, so as I mentioned before, so Perrin and Loial, they went with the Shianarians. Hey, Horn of Valyria is stolen. We're going to go help get try to track people down and get it back. They meet up with a character named Elias. He is a wolf brother. And that's kind of what is happening with Perrin. So Perrin's eyes are becoming golden and he can hear the wolves and he can commune with the wolves. So they go through, they find this town out towards the west. And then the Shanshan come and take it over. You would find some really great characters in the Shannarians. Uno is one in particular. He's foul mouthed and just abrasive and just kind of a, kind of fun. He's very, very much against, taking the oaths, and he is murdered by the Shanshan in a very graphic scene. And then everybody else kind of bends the knee because they're afraid of what of that happening to them. So Shanshan capture Perrin and Loial and Ingtar and the other Shannarians. Then in the travel to Falm, Elias and the wolves break out Perrin and they take him back to the town where they were captured. There he meets Avienda, who is an Aiel woman from the Aiel Waste. She has been caged, and oddly enough, the Children of the Light, the White Cloaks, are in this town with Child Valda, who is the douchebag who was torturing Perrin and murdering other Aes Sedai. Now, we also meet Dane Bornhold, who is a younger White Cloak. And he's who first speaks with Perrin. Perrin lets Avienda out of her cage. Turns out Avienda and Aiel are pretty badass fighters. They fight off basically like 15, 20 White Cloaks. And then they head out. And then they meet up with a couple of other Aiel women, Bane and Chiad, who go towards Falm. All right, so everything seems to be converging on Falm, right? So back in Kyrene, I'll start with Matt. Matt has been captured in the White Tower by the Reds, been kept prisoner by Leandrin, and he, kind of in the process of trying to literally do anything, he meets with another fellow prisoner, Min, who we met in Faldara. So Min is also in a cell, and so they kind of commune with each other. When Nynaeve doesn't come out of the arches and Leandrin thinks that she's dead, she goes to Matt and says, "I don't give a shit. Go do whatever you want to do. I've wasted my time with you." But in fact, she is... she's set up so that Min would meet Matt and then they would, Min would take him wherever Leandrin wanted. Then turns out, hey, yep, Leandrin's Black Aja. And so, Ishmael is the person that Min is going to send, to turn Matt over to or direct his actions. And Ishmael says, "Hey, Min, have Matt go with Rand out of Kyrene." Min tells Matt, "Don't do it because I saw something bad's going to happen." Matt doesn't, so Rand leaves to go out of Kyrene, which is when he is captured by the Aes Sedai and made to meet up with the Amyrlin Seat. Then Matt, basically gets knocked out, and Lanfear, who is, doesn't have Rand anymore, but he has met her in her dreams, and he's kind of like, "Hey, don't let these people, don't hurt these people. I'll do what you like or whatever." So she takes Matt. Matt wakes up in Falm, and it's like, "Whoa, what's going on?" He meets Ishmael, another Forsaken, which is fun. Then he's given a tea. He sees some hallucinogenic teas. He sees visions of his past lives, like the Wheel of Time rolls people back out of their lives. So he sees visions of past lives and he realizes that some of his memories are like all jumbled together and it's all crazy. And then Padden Fane shows up. Oh, this guy again. So he basically puts the dagger that Matt still feels this draw to on the table and leaves him in there just waiting for Matt to succumb to the darkness. Matt, being an ingenuitive guy, he takes a piece of bamboo and a cloth. He doesn't ever actually touch the dagger, so it doesn't like affect him, but he turns it into a spear, and then it turns out this dagger is crazy, like crazy evil, because it's just like melting doors and basically completely destroying people from the inside out. So Matt escapes. He meets up with Loyale and Perrin, who I know I didn't get through all of this stuff, but they all escape. They meet up again in the city of Falm with the Horn of Valir, and then he's like, oh god, I gotta get the horn to Rand because he's gonna go fight this Forsaken. And he gets trapped in a spot, and he blows the Horn of Valir. Heroes come pop out from behind him, including Uno, who is apparently a hero of the horn. And the Horn of Valir is supposed to bring dead heroes of the past back to fight for whomever blows the horn. So now they like rip through the Shanshan with ease. Matt gets up to the top of the tower. And that's like where everything's going to become a climax at the end. I am going to go ahead and move over to Egwene. So Nynaeve, Elaine, and Egwene were all kidnapped by Liandrin. She turned them over to the Shanshan as like to collar them. But at the last moment, she like kind of frees Nynaeve. Nynaeve and Elaine escape. Egwene is captured and is basically tortured for days, weeks. We're not sure how long, but she's basically being trained without the concentration and the discipline. Well, sorry, I guess with more discipline than the Aes Sedai do. Like this Adam does not mess around, and it a whole bunch of rules to it. But yeah, so she's basically a slave using her channeling, but all of her powers are becoming very, very strong. She is coming into her own as a channeler. So now she's being taken up to like fight, you know, protect from the battle in Falm. Also, the White Cloaks, even though they got beaten by Perrin and one Aiel, they now are going to go attack Falm because of the Shanshan. They're going to go liberate the city from the Shanshan. So this kind of creates this giant battle at Falm. So now, Nynaeve and Elaine, they are trying to figure out a way to free Egwene. So they meet up with an Aes Sedai who has avoided capture in Falm. And they are trying to figure out how to like break open the dam. And then it is discovered that Sul'dahm can actually channel. And that kind of like defeats the whole, almost like the whole power structure of the Shanshan. But so they trap a Sul'dahm, they get in, battle breaks out, Elaine gets shot in the leg with an arrow, Nynaeve can't heal her. So long story short, everybody ends up on the top of this tower in Falm. Rand's up there facing down with Ishmael. This was actually a trap. The Shanshan have been kind of led by Ishmael as like a secret advisor. And so they have Rand shielded, Ishmael up there getting ready to kill him. And then Egwene breaks the bonds, murders her Sul'dahm, in a truly brutal fashion. But it, like both of them, that whole deal was pretty crazy. And then, Matt comes up and tries to kill Ishmael with his spear with the crazy dagger, ends up throwing it through a mirage of Ishmael into Rand. So now Rand's gonna die. He's shielded. He can't do anything. And then Egwene starts shielding him from Ishmael, And then Perrin, she's going to break down, and Perrin shows up with a shield. And then, so Matt's trying to help, and then Elaine shows up and she tries to heal Rand as well as she can. Nynaeve can't do anything because she can't control the source. And so then she heals Rand to the point. Oh, and then in another crazy setup, Moiraine and Lan were dropped off by Lanfear. And so basically, hey, you know, when you need to, you know, do what you need to do. So Moiraine goes and sets fire to all the Shanshan channelers. And so then Rand's no longer shielded. And he goes, he kills Ishmael, forces his sword through his chest. Ishmael dies. And then Moiraine sends like this giant fire dragon or whatever up to sign, you know, hey, he is proclaimed the dragon. And it's like, everybody's up there. It's really pretty awesome. There are a couple things that I do want to go ahead and mention and I know this is going on forever. There's just so much awesome stuff. I mentioned the Forsaken. We do get word of a couple of different Forsaken. So we know there are 8 Forsaken. And then Ishmael had the other 6 seals like in his bedroom. And then Lanfear goes to get them after the battle and to like get rid of them. And it turns out that Ishmael has destroyed the seals and broken them so that the other Forsaken are free and around. So the only ones that we have heard of are Ishmael, Lanfear, Mogheddion, who we saw at the very end of the episode or of the season, and then Samael, who is the only other name that we've heard. So I think that we're caught up. It may be that I missed some major stuff, or I know that there are things that I would have loved to have talked about, but I've only talked for 40 minutes, so I'm actually pretty impressed with myself. All right. So, hey, I'm really looking forward to season 3. Please, you know, if you like what we do, please, you know, listen to the podcast, send in feedback, talk@podcastica.com. I'm going to put up Facebook posts for feedback for, each of the episodes. We're going to try to get as many as we can out, you know, this weekend for the first 3 episodes that are released. Don't really like the schedule because it makes podcasting really hard, but I love having the material to watch. All right. So I believe that is it. And that's the show. And please tune in for episode 1. It'll be coming soon. Let the dragon ride again on the winds of time.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big.